Ride with Vancouver Pride at PNE Playland on Saturday, July 19th. Put on a bright red shirt to show your pride. Fun continues the following weekend at Picnic in the Park. Pack your basket, bring your friends, and throw down a blanket. Make it your pride with beer garden, games, food, and fun. See you on Saturday, July 26th in Stanley Park. For more info, visit vancouverpride.ca.
Ask for it and we listen. Vancouver Pride Society and Van City present Kudo's Big Night Out, where starting at 7 o'clock on Davie Street, you're going to find go-go dancers, the city's biggest twister game, right along with the city's biggest beer garden, and DJs, live music, dancing, and even a few surprises. We've gathered the best, you bring the rest, and we'll see you on Davie Street, Friday night, August 1st.
Juicebox is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Dropped into Juicebox Radio, where sexuality educators quench your search for responsible, progressive sexuality over your lifespan. Yes, yes, you've landed in Juicebox Radio. That's 101.9 FM CITR with the saucy Saunders. That's Ms. Julia and Ms. McGillivray, Ms. Kerr. After our foray last week into the topic of summer love, came some queries, actually, about long-distance loving. Kind of these polarities of relationship and how to be in relationship. Intense, both of them intense. One of them, you're in town constantly and it's a quick little crazy month or 2 weeks or 2 months or whatever. The other one lasting a lot longer but greater distance, but I think the same kind of intensity kind of exists. So it's a good bridge from last week's show. And we're going to be taking calls tonight at 604-UBC-CITR. That's 604-822-2487. You can call in from anywhere in the world. Right now, if you're listening. So, yeah, please feel free to use that area code. All right.
Anywhere in the world, hey?
Mm-hmm. Any long-distance relationship that might, person that might like to contribute to the conversation, if they had one, if they're in one, if they have something to suggest, if they have something to bellyache about, whatever it might be.
I haven't had a long-distance relationship since, since I was 14 years old. It's pretty incredible.
Well, I know your habits.
Yeah, I tend to date guys who are local. So, especially, no more than 5 K's around me.
I know. It's like if a guy lives on Commercial Drive, Caroline, you suffer. You're like, I don't know. He lives on Commercial Drive.
I know. I'm a little bit snobby that way. I tend not to date them east of Maine. So. I'm terrible. I'm probably going to get bitten for that.
Well, you know what? For me, the long-distance relationships I've been in have happened, I think, because more that I'm willing, I have this willingness to travel. I love to travel. And I have a big sense of adventure. I'll kind of jump on a plane and go visit anybody who invites me into different towns. Why not? I have a very big sense of adventure. Something that my family completely gets freaked out about because I'm willing to do kind of crazy things that they would never do. But I'm the one with the sense of adventure in the family, so... And it's not really because I believe long-distance relationships can work. And actually, the biggest reason for that is that they're just not based in reality. So we're going to talk about that later in the show. But
definitely. Mm-hmm. I think long-distance relationships, perhaps the reason why you get into them sometimes is I think you're a lot braver than I am. They're not for the meek. And sometimes I tend to be a little bit meek and a little bit cynical, as we both know, in terms of dating and things, and tend to look at the whole thing with amusement.
Well, you know, the long-distance relationships are definitely not for the meek. And I think it takes a great deal of love. It takes a lot of trust.
And strength.
And strength to persevere. So... in many ways, I say a long-distance relationship isn't really different than a local relationship because it's really, I think, the same recipe for a healthy relationship. It remains the same, right?
Yep. Strong communication, work, really a lot of work, patience and understanding and a lot of laughter.
Yes, definitely. It's, what is it? My little brother and I had lunch today. I think it's 72%. Of the exchanges and experiences you have with each other have to be positive. It's 5 out of 7. So I think we did the math, and I think it's around that. So if you're getting into a relationship that where, you know, it's less than 70 or 72% positive exchanges, then it's too much, and it's not working. Something has to change.
So you might as well let it go.
And it actually makes you sick. I mean, it makes you sick, right? Like your body, you may not notice it in the moment, but it ages you and it gives you heart disease. And I mean, the studies are out there all over the place that literally negative relationships, bad relationships will kill you shorter term than they would if you had a positive relationship in your life. Anyway. Sometimes. End them if they're not good.
No, definitely. I'm in full agreement on that. Although I have to say one of the benefits to being in a relationship, at least for me, has always been all about the physical stuff. The love, the hugs, the kissing
the
and
sex.
Cuddling. Yes, the big S word.
Yeah.
Which I love. And I think it's really important.
So why would anyone in their right mind actually get into a long-distance relationship with someone? Because you're not physically with each other, really, except for short little visits. But, yeah.
Well, sometimes I think it's because of the life circumstances. The big one, especially in this day and age, is career move. You or maybe your partner's been offered employment opportunity that's just too good to pass up. And it costs so much to raise a family these days. So it's really important to look at that. And that's a big one.
I mean, I think career move and then the education kind of goes along with it.
It does,
One of you decides to pursue an educational advancement in another city. But I think these are speaking about relationships that perhaps already existed. And then, you know, you decide to have a long distance one because you love each other already. And so that makes kind of sense to me because that's got some of the elements we're going to talk about in the show tonight, which is how to make a long distance relationship actually work. And that part of that is having this end date. So you're going to go to school for a year. You're going to try this, you know, living in San Fran and do this new career thing for a year. And then if it, you know, one of you decides, okay, fine, I'll move back or I'll move you down here kind of thing. Right. So there's this, we'll talk about that later, but, I think that the craziness of getting into one by choice starts with online dating. I mean, you meet somebody online. It's so easy to do these days. People are doing it all over the place. You chat. You meet in the chat room. Things are going really well. They develop, right? You decide to see each other. You decide to visit, right? And you have a bunch of visits. And you're really hot and heavy, and you decide that you want to make the relationship, you know, more important to each other or more exclusive or whatever the case may be. So... I think that's the only way that a long-distance relationship would start without already beginning into the same city locally, and then you move apart. But
that's true, because even with the summer love, like that we talked about last week where we're talking about at the end of it, sometimes people want to keep it continuing, and sometimes, which some that's of the true. Queries we did get were because of the jump off for that. So it's like, well, what happens now? I've met somebody who's pretty hot, who's pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. I just spent the last 2 weeks with them, had the most amazing sex, and it was a great time, and I can't get them out of my mind. So we've decided to try this and see how it works. Mm-hmm. So there's a few things with this where you're getting to know somebody, where it's the getting to know you process, as opposed to the other where it's you've known somebody for a very long time, so you have a nice solid foundation of friendship, love, and
then that's based in reality. Like that I think is based in reality, and then you have like this separation for a while. That can work, and I think that's not an unrealistic situation. I think when you start your whole relationship long distance, there's a lot of elements that need to happen to make them to make it successful.
Definitely.
So we're going to talk about that for sure.
And thanks to modern technology, it's easier to keep in contact. So there's different ways you can learn to communicate with your partner.
Obviously, very important. The communication we talked about, it's
huge.
For sure.
Scheduled phone calls, webcam chat, visits, and really treating those as dates.
Right.
Even though, like, a lot of times guys will be like, I'll call you tomorrow. And then they don't call when they say they're going to call. Or girls do the same thing. Mm-hmm. And it's really important to treat those with a lot of respect, a lot of dignity.
Yeah.
And it is like a date.
Exactly. I mean, I think in a long-distance relationship especially, any time, really, if you make a date with somebody, you say you're going to do something, you should do it. But, you know, with long-distance relationships, I think Skype helps, Facebook, text messaging, all these things make it a lot easier to stay in contact with each other when you don't live in the same town. And
it doesn't have to break the bank either with that. Mm-hmm. Skype's cheap. So
yeah,
good.
Right. Yes, yeah, so I just got a phone bill.
Oh, sweetheart.
From being in a long-distance relationship recently. And, it's painful. I think time to get Skype if I do that again. Anyway, and as Caroline and I were sort of talking about,
you got to negotiate an end date.
Yeah.
I just want to bring that right loud and clear. Besides looking into your long-distance plans and things like that, right from the get-go, you want to start with that. Julia, you touched on this a bit where, for example, going to school for a year, you want to set and establish, like, say you're leaving in September because you're going to go do your master's, say, at UBC or McGill or somewhere like that. You really want to make sure that you check in with your partner within 6 months and see how things are going, or when they come back for Christmas break, perhaps, or you go visit them. How's this going? What's working for us? Mm-hmm. What do we need to change? And really discuss these things, because hopefully one of you is going to be coming back or moving there, or perhaps moving somewhere completely different because that's where opportunity takes you. Mm-hmm. But this isn't going to be long distance for the next 30 years.
Yeah, I mean, it's not impossible to continue living in separate cities for the rest of your lives, but it is incredibly different. I know some I know some couples, older couples that don't have children, and they both travel a lot, so they actually have apartments in different cities, and it works really well for them. I mean, again, this is an established relationship where they both have very busy schedules and busy lots of hobbies and other friends and, things to keep them occupied and when they're not around each other. And it can actually make the relationship last a lot longer and probably be more successful in some cases. So, but really, you have three options. Either one partner moves into the other person's city, the other one moves to come you, or, again, like you said, Caroline, a whole different place together. But I think starting to talk about it as soon as you realize that you want to take it to that next level.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's a huge mistake just to hush it up, because if you do that, and I think that's a huge reason why a lot of them don't work out, because it's one thing to set a goal, like, we want to be together in 10 years, but if you don't have the day-by-day, like, how do you get there in 10 years? It doesn't make any sense. It's kind of like going to the gym. I want to lose 10 pounds. How do I go about that? Well, maybe I'm going to cut down on how much I'm eating per day. I'm going to lower my caloric intake. I'm going to work out 3 times a week. Those things. So you need to actually break it down by your day-by-day. How do you get to your 5 years? And if you don't start with that, which is why the six-month timelines are really important to do, and also checking in, making a schedule in terms of are you going to talk 3 times a week? Is that going to be enough? Or is somebody going to be really depressed about that? Or are you going to email every day? Those types of things. It's super important. There's some interesting tips we found on perfectrelationship.com.
I think you're skipping a very important part, which is equal amounts of time visiting each other in your home cities, because it's important to see if you have the same lifestyle and value system. Very critical. Like, if I just keep going to the same city that the person lives in because they, for example, have a very busy schedule and I have an open one, it's just an imbalanced sort of view on the values or what they might be do when you're not around, and just kind of who they are and what they do for fun and what they're interested in. And I think there's also a power differential when you're visiting somewhere or when somebody's visiting you. It's just a very distinctive difference in you being a guest or them being a guest
host.
And host and guest and stuff. So, you know, obviously if it's an established relationship and it's, again, like I suggested, you know, the different apartments in this different cities and you've already had a relationship, but that's kind of different, obviously. But when you're in the beginning of a new one, I think the power difference can be quite significant.
I agree with you. It's the getting to know you phase, which can be difficult and challenging at times, even though it's really exciting.
So do make sure you try to spend equal amount of time visiting in the other person's city, for sure. So now Caroline, in her great little researching, she did good job putting this together tonight, by
the
way.
Thank you, baby.
Alex Chu from perfectrelationship.com. He has some do's and don'ts for long-distance relationships. So Caroline and I are going to comment on them.
The very first thing he recommends is actually what the Juice Box Girls just finished recommending, which is to establish an effective communication channel.
This is the first thing that you have to do in a long-distance relationship, for sure. Most people think that the telephone is the most convenient mode, but apart from telephone services, there's other alternatives. There's today's date. It's amazing. Instant messenger, emails, webcam, snail mail. Snail mail can be very effective.
I think it's great.
All
I
of
love
these
getting
things.
Letters.
Yeah, everyone loves to get a little bit of a fun mail thing. And if you know how to use these communication tools, they can be effective. But they all have their different advantages and disadvantages, so you have to sort of explore each of them to enhance each other's a communication experience. Some of you may be different. Some people may not be phone people. Some people may not be really into the typing. Some people, you know, like...
And sometimes people...
It's different for different people.
I agree. And sometimes it's easier to write things down. Some people are writers where they're able to express deeper emotion, where speaking on the telephone is a little bit more shallow for them, where they can't think of the words to say. But when they have
Or just
time,
hard, more intimate.
Yes. I like that word, intimate.
Telephone is pretty intimate. I think email has got that nice separation for people that have intimacy struggles.
Definitely. Whereas letters, putting pen to paper can be pretty hot. The other thing that's really important that Alex Chu recommends is to make sure you make plans to meet each other. There's nothing more important than meeting somebody at an interval of time throughout the period of your long-distance relationship. It's really important just to get together with your partner and to catch up over things that you can't do apart, which I, of course,
like
thought
sex.
Of sex.
Yes, yes.
The anticipation of seeing each other is great foreplay and will always hopefully give you excitement and hope, as well as eliminating that lonely feeling that sometimes you get in your LDR, which is short for an acronym of, which if you haven't figured that out for long-term
relationship.
Yes.
But I think it's also like it's important to sort of know the next time that you're going to be together so that it's X number of sleeps away and someone can mark their calendar and be like, okay, I can do this. It's, you know, one more week or two more weeks or whatever. So important, definitely, to do that if you're in a long distance. And then building a hobby, right? Like, I think that's kind of cute, a cute idea. Building and keeping a hobby that both of you have something to discuss and work on throughout your distance relationship. So finding something to do online can be interesting, for example. We're going to talk about more about that in the second half. But, you know, online, judging from the speed and reachability of online stuff, which is great, never leave out conventional hobbies because you don't need to have your partner present to sort of share that. Can you think of an example of sort of a hobby that people would be able to share together?
I can think of a few different ones. It could be something as simple as going jogging, for example, where you can share with your partner. Say you're both training for an Ironman, for example. Where it's like, I swam 10K today, for example.
And how it went and stuff. And,
yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
and
cool.
Really talking about that. And perhaps you have a blog that you share together that you're writing where it's your exercise journal. Or perhaps you're each taking two different types of cooking classes. And that could be really special.
Mm.
Or it could be a little bit more sexual, where it could be something like the red light district. You never know. Creating avatars and having your own little private thing in there.
So Alex Chu also recommends surprising your partner with things like cards or gifts or a letter or flowers that's outside of their expectations, sort of apart from your normal correspondence. And in a long-distance relationship, it's really important to do that, to kind of spice it up, regardless of how far away they are from each other, you know, just an effort that you know that they know that you're trying to help them be happy and to bridge that gap. So an important thing to do.
Other things that are really important is just to capture and share interesting moments in your own life and share those guys with your partner. Facebook's a really great thing for that, where you can post up videos. You can check by somebody's status in terms of what's going on. And that way they don't feel excluded from your life. That's one of the things I like for Facebook, just in general, not just for long-distance relationships, but even just staying in contact with friends.
Oh, I know. I love it. So he suggests some don'ts as well. And I think we'll kind of go through these quickly because we've got some really good stuff we don't want to leave out. So don't settle for a temporary replacement. And he's talking about cheating. So one of the mistakes that long-distance couples often make is they settle for this temporary replacement for the physicality that they're missing out on. But if you do that, you're going to take a great risk of your relationship if you've agreed to be, you know, monogamous or exclusive. Obviously, you're going to be breaching a major ethic with each other, and that can destroy the relationship, like it can any relationship.
And I agree with that. And that also not only includes physical cheating, there's also emotional cheating, where, say, you find a new best friend that you're spending all your time with, but it's more of an emotional attachment as opposed to physical, which sometimes that's an even worse cheat.
So also just not to take the relationship lightly. I think a lot of people that, you know, what not to do in a long-distance relationship, which, again, as we said in the beginning of the hour, it takes a lot of strength to be in one. And part of that strength is to feel that missingness that you have, that loneliness without them. But I think a lot of people block that by trying to just take the relationship lightly. The absence of your partner does not give you the license to manipulate the relationship. And remember that your partner has their own right to participate in decision-making toward, say, the well-being of your relationship, regardless of where they are. And a long-distance relationship is as important as a normal relationship or a local relationship. And your partner has every right to be treated fairly and to be as if they're beside you every minute in the way that you regard your life and how you talk about them, or whether or not you're with others, or, you know, the cheating. I hate that word, but anyway.
I think some of that comes from a wait-and-see attitude, where I think that's one of the reasons why there's so many failures in long distance, because people are always like, I don't know if it really is going to work. So why should I invest myself emotionally in this when I don't really believe in it? And what David suggests in this article is I forget what the writer's name is.
Alex Chu.
Don't ask where that came from. But anyway, sorry, I'm giving the wrong writer. But basically, if you're not going to make this work and you don't believe it, there's no point even getting involved in the relationship. Just put a stop to it right from the get-go, because why bother wasting your time? Why bother wasting your partner's time?
You're both going to suffer. And I mean, in a long-distance relationship, both partners have to be committed, and they have to be proactive in bringing that relationship to a higher level. So the wait and see doesn't work. And, of course, suspicion is a killer as well.
That's the biggest killer.
You're not in the same location. You've got to trust your partner. A single suspicion is going to break the bond you have. And it's the beginning of the end, honestly. So much easier said than done. But trust Alex Chu. If your partner is apt to do something unfaithful to you, they're going to still do it under your nose. So you need to create a very trustful, you know, place of love and bonding with that person, and just give them the benefit of the doubt.
And you've got to just try to stop succumbing to negative comments about long-distance relationships. And
negative head talk.
Huge head talk, where it's like, it's not going to work, it's not going to work, it's not going to work. Because eventually it's going to hunt you down and destroy your relationship if you choose to listen to that. So once you've decided to enter it, you've got to learn to believe that your relationship is going to work.
Okay.
And one of the ways to do that is by giving good phone.
We're going to be talking about giving good phone in the second half of the show for sure.
Yeah.
And we're not talking about the kind of phone that you're thinking of, listeners. We're talking about for those people who don't like talking on the phone, because one of the most intimate things you can do, besides jerking off on a webcam to each other, is
Talking.
Is talking and sharing communications. I think Michael Jones, one of our recent guests, would recommend being dynamic and like learning new things in your life and trying new things in your spare time so that you have things to talk about. It's going to help you grow as a person. Really important that you emote on the phone, that you spend time listening and talking about your emotions and how you're feeling like on a day-to-day basis. And for those people who don't like talking about their feelings, it's really important when you're in a long-distance relationship that you do try really hard to break through, you know, those feeling uncomfortable about that, because it's going to help keep your intimacy level and your connection stronger.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of giving good phone.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the big things is just not to tell stories or jokes. Seriously. I mean, it's not bad to say jokes or anything, but why say it?
Same story 10 times, 5 times.
It's not worth it. I mean, it's important to share meaningful stories, but just don't tell them your whole life story. You're going to run out of things to say.
And I think one of the things I learned in a long-distance relationship that I have had in my past is to kind of learn and ask each other about each other's professions, like take an interest, because people think that they're going to run out of things to say on the phone. And it's basically, if you want to find more things to talk about, you have to ask them questions and learn. And the benefit of that is you can learn about a new domain of knowledge from this other person. You know, they can teach you about what they do and what their profession is. And part of that benefit too there is that you can ask the person who's learning about the other person's profession, can ask like good follow-up questions. Like once they have a background in your profession, they know what's going on, they can ask you kind of interesting questions that might engage a good conversation for giving good phone, right?
I think that's a really good way of giving good phone, Julia, because people are primarily interested in talking about themselves. It's just the way we are. So keep in mind about that. And especially women, guys, I want you to really listen to this. Women get upset sometimes if you only talk about yourself.
And we want to talk about our day. I mean, sometimes women want to get into the great big details about our day. We just, you know, some guys would answer, yeah, I went to the ball game, went to this or whatever. Girls would be like, yeah, and then I put on this outfit, and then it was like when I met my friends at the ballpark, it was this, and then, you know, we want to kind of get into the detail, and it's good for you just to breathe and listen.
Mm-hmm.
This is for a heterosexual relationship.
I think it's for anybody, though. Like, I mean, especially
there's the phone talkers and the non-phone talkers, really.
Exactly, and we both dated both of them, so I think we can both talk about this personally. And on that note, one of the key things is making sure you're focusing, because don't you hate it when you're, whether you're chatting on Facebook chat or MSN, or whether you're actually having a phone conversation for good phone, that person's focused on you.
You can always tell. You can always tell when somebody's on the phone with you and they're either reading something or they're watching TV or they're on the internet or something. I catch them every time. It's very disrespectful.
It is.
So don't do it. Anyway, and then, of course, get a webcam. If you have a long-distance relationship, get a webcam, get video conferencing somehow, so that you can look at each other when you talk. You don't have to masturbate in front of each other if that's beyond your comfort zone.
And you can remember what they look like.
Yeah, you're free. So whatever perceived benefits you have for a long-distance relationship, make sure you embrace them. Try to focus on the benefits instead of the downsides, because there are many downsides to a long-distance relationship. But hopefully one day you're going to move to the same place, which, again, will have its own pros and cons. So you want to be able to think back on the long-distance aspect of your relationship with really fond memories.
And with that, there's a few other things we might want to add on just before the break. One of them is really think about it if you're living in different time zones. Because, number one, you've got to start to make adjustments and be flexible. Mm-hmm. Getting up earlier to shift your schedule so you can talk to them, make time for phone time. Mm-hmm. And if you do communicate via email, you can do this in your spare time, but it's a lot less personal. And it's really important to keep it personal.
Mm-hmm.
Up close and personal.
Exactly. I mean, and also just to know that you might be on different pages, like to sort of be aware that your day-to-day lives might be very different. So this can cause people to grow apart who are not in the same frame of mind when they're communicating. So if you live in different cities and you talk every other day or once a day, you know, one person's been pining over you all day because it's been their day off work and they haven't been busy and they've just been kind of like wanting to talk and can't wait to talk to you that evening. The other person's been busy running around all day focused at work and they're just not on the same page. So being extra sympathetic and sensitive to where the other person is at is really important. And also understanding your needs. I mean,
you
is our guest, is she calling in early?
I think so, but I said 10:30 because I for the break.
Okay, well, do you want to?
Sure.
Oh, do you want to grab it? So just, okay. So we're going to, do you want to just put the music on? It's okay. All right.
Sorry, I'm having a technical difficulty and trying to remember how to put them on.
It's okay. We'll just go to break. Well, she can hold. All right. So after the break, we're going to be talking about long-distance love affairs and how to spice up your relationship, whether it's long-distance or not, and more on how to keep the sexiness in your long-distance relationship. So keep that dial locked. We welcome your calls. We have a guest right after the show as well, so we'll be chatting with
Katie
about her long-distance relationship experience. And if you have any, do call in at 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. You are in Juice Box, featured on Vancouver's 101.9 FM. And we'll be right back.
John Boychuk, president of the Vancouver Pride Society. Celebrate 30 years of the rainbow this summer at Vancouver's Pride Parade and Festival. Take part in this colorful and fun spectacle on Sunday, August 3rd. Don't miss the show-stopping lineup of Vancouver Pride festivities. Visit vancouverpride.ca for more info.
Juice Box is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome back to Juice Box Radio.
Long distance love affair. I think we have to thank your lovely brother Alex for sending you that. Although I think he said you were going to do it anyway, but then your brother Alex was on the same page and he sent you Sheena Easton's Long distance love,
love affair.
Affair.
It's very called good. Telephone.
Telephone.
Cracked me. I didn't know actually because when I was looking for it yesterday when I was prepping the show, I was actually looking for long distance love affair and I couldn't find it on, mm-hmm. on YouTube. So I was getting frustrated and finally just punched in Shanice and it came up telephone. It's spelled with an F. And then ironically when we sent out the juice box thing to our fan club mm-hmm. about our show tonight, mm-hmm. all of a sudden my brother comments and sends the link to that. And I just started laughing and I had to call you, of course, which I did.
Yes. Well, I'm older than both of you, so I should have known about the whole name of that song and remembering Sheena Easton, but I knew every word of the line in that song. And no, we're not going to sing in karaoke. Anyway, let's not keep our caller waiting any longer.
We've got a great caller calling in. We've got a lovely lady named Katie who's called in, who has had to think about whether or not to or not to have a long distance relationship. Welcome to the show, Katie.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thank you. So your boyfriend's going away for a year.
He is. He's going away either August or October. I'm not sure which one, late August. And he'll be gone for about 6 months. Then he'll be back for about 3 weeks. Then he'll be gone for about another 6 months.
Sounds terrible.
So it's the relationship with an expiry date.
Okay, that's how you're viewing it.
Call me a pessimist, but mm-hmm. that's the way I'm viewing it.
Okay.
Which it's important if you don't think it's going to work where both of you are out of town at the same time. It's important not to go into a long-distance relationship unless you're ready for that, because that's huge.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the tricky things for me and what it came down to or a big factor was that I'm going to be around in Vancouver for a bit, but by the time he comes back, then I'd like to be going away to do a master's program for a year. So really, we're going to be apart for 2 years, not just 1 year.
Mm.
And so I know you guys were talking about, you know, you've got to have that end point. And for us, it really doesn't have an end point because, I mean, we don't even know when the end point is for our relationship, whether he's leaving in 3 weeks or 6 weeks or 8 weeks, you know, that those things become difficult.
Mm.
How long have you guys been together?
We started dating last November.
Okay, so about 8 months?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you noticed, just because you're mentioning you're going to be doing your master's, just with friends who just finished their bachelor's, for example, have you noticed a lot of long-distance relationships coming out of that where somebody's going back home or, say, they're, because you're going to UBC, right, darling?
Right.
Where they're just perhaps leaving for another university or perhaps they're finished up. Have you noticed that there's a lot of long-distance relationships or are you finding more relationships with expiry dates?
I would say the latter. I'd say people who kind of held on through university because, let's say, you know, they're from Ontario.
Mm-hmm.
They go to school on two different coasts of Canada, and, you know, they see each other every spring break when they go home, every Christmas when they go home. Maybe they're home for the summers, and that it's when they're actually at school that they're apart, and they can deal with that. But now that people are graduating and you see that they don't have that sort of the same scheduling that they used to have where suddenly people are taking jobs all over the place, these relationships that they held on to for so long, for 4 years even, are just starting to crumble. So maybe that's why I'm a pessimist.
Fair enough, because you've seen it within your own social circle, so that makes sense. What were some of the factors besides that actually led you to that this is just not going to work?
Well,
besides the fact that you're not sure where, A, when he's leaving, and B, where are you guys going to be in 2 years? Because you do want to do your master's, and you're not sure where he's going to be in 2 years.
Yeah, and I guess I should say that it's not so much that I don't think we're ever going to work ever. I'm just not going to hold on to the false idea that he's a musician, so he's going to go on tour for a year. And we all know how musicians are. We know what going on tour involves. I'm not going to expect him to sit around and wait for me. And, I mean, he can't expect me to really do the same. It makes it really difficult, I think, to live your life and to be really present in the moment and to really participate in all the things that you have in your life as a young person, because I'm 22 and he's 24, and I mean, it's
hell
difficult to hold on and wait. So that was a big factor.
I'm like, if he's going to be on tour at 24 and you're anywhere else at 22, I think mm-hmm. Freedom is a very important ethic and priority for both of you.
Yeah, and so. I guess what it came down to, the biggest thing is, I'm not going to lie, I am a pessimist, but what I would love to see happen is for us to both come back at some point in this, you know, indeterminate amount of time, and that we will have both grown as people, we will have both done what it is we need to do. I want to go to school, he wants to, you know, tour around and be a groupie, or have his groupies, excuse me. And, but we could both come back together, and, you know, if it still works, then...
They're that much closer to perhaps the unappropriate marriage date.
Yeah, exactly.
Time,
and so, like, what is,
maturity.
I guess, what is the objective here? Are we really, like, how is it, what's best for us as people? How are we both going to grow from each other? What can we provide for each other? I think it is really difficult to grow and, you know, challenge yourself as a person if you're holding on to someone who's, whatever, halfway around the world.
I totally agree.
Well, thank you so much for calling in.
That's awesome.
You're very welcome.
Great
thank you
comments.
So much for talking about this very pertinent topic.
All right. Take care.
Have
care.
A great night, girl.
You
Thanks.
Too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, thank you very much, Katie, for calling in.
Mm. So, again, long-distance relationships. Well, I guess we've talked a lot about how, you know, the struggles of them, how they aren't working, and it can be very challenging. And then, of course, Sheena Easton belted her little heart out about how frustrating it can be to not trust somebody. You're not on the phone. You're not in communication. Why are you not calling me? All of this stuff. But let's talk about how to make a long-distance relationship work and some advice on how to get a little closer.
I like that. And by the way, those listeners out there who are in town and dating locals, you can use some of this stuff to spice up your own relationship.
Mm-hmm. So it helps to have a solid time in the future for when it's going to end, as we talked about, no matter the timeline. So without that, I think that the end, sorry, I'm confused.
No, if it you don't have that, it's really difficult to mold the relationship into something that isn't always just a distant thing.
Right,
even
okay.
with great communication, that's pretty difficult to do.
Okay.
When you have good communication, you've got a goal set in mind, each person can kind of start thinking about point in the distance, and you can kind of timeline towards it and work really hard to keep the emotions readily available.
Okay. We talked a lot about that in the first half. So I think this idea is an awesome one, which is to buy a game that you can play together over the internet, such as massively multiplayer online role-playing games, so that you can chat while playing it, and it gives you a greater feeling of togetherness. So somebody's calling. Oh. I don't know who it is, but thanks for calling Juicebox. Hi. You're on the air.
How are you?
I'm good. Who's calling, please? Hi.
This is Mars.
Hi. Long distance relationship. Do you have some comments you'd like to make?
Yeah, totally. I mean, what you guys are talking about tonight, and this is actually really funny because this is the first time I've ever listened to your show.
First time listener, first time caller. Fabulous.
I thought a lot of the stuff that you're talking about pertains to relationships in this busy day and age.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you can't really. Find the time to make relationships work on even in the same city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and definitely.
It's just, it can be challenging to set aside time and organize time to really be present with your partner.
Yeah.
If you're in the same city.
That's right.
What's your
Are
name?
You struggling with that? He said Mars.
Okay.
I know I'm Mars, but I'm not assuming it's that him. Is that? One. So are you, do you have any recommendations then for listeners? Are you struggling with this yourself?
Sometimes I find it very challenging, definitely, to balance my own life and then find time to...
care for your relationship.
Yeah.
Right.
And be really present in that when both people are very busy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, really making... a point to be present
and to call and to make
and
dates
to call and make those calls important and not be playing on your computer while you're making the call or
exactly
definitely or, and not taking somebody for granted
exactly
right on.
Well, thank you very much, Mars, for calling.
You're welcome.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
You thanks
too.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Juicebox. Hopefully you'll listen again.
So cute,
well, it is cute.
Oh my gosh! Okay,
it's my receptionist
in
me.
So exactly, but I do think that this greater feeling of togetherness that can come from online, if you buy like do the avatars and kind of, you know, then you can sort of keep that spiciness of like physicality that you're missing out on by like, you know, or they have those hug shirts and stuff. Have you heard of those with the newest technologies that are kind of out there where they have a shirt that you both get a shirt and you buy these shirts and they match. And then basically if like I rubbed my arm with the shirt, you would feel the pressure from your shirt into your arm, like is exactly where I squeeze
really?
My shirt. Yeah. And I mean, I saw some ads on it in different magazines around, and I think it's going to become a little bit more commonplace where you can buy these things. I mean, personally, I think it's freaky, but they're using this for sex play as well. You know, like somebody can just use a dildo and move the dildo around, and actually it will give you that movement to your body, or vibration. People, I mean, they have it today, right? The vibrator idea that you can do remotely while you're at a party or something.
I can already imagine that. Can you imagine doing that while your partner is doing a speech or something like that in front of a whole bunch of clients?
Well, there's this stuff.
That's a movie. That's a scene ready for an Eddie Murphy movie or something
that's
like
right.
that. I shouldn't give out my ideas.
There are lots of things to do on the net, lots of things to do electronically. More and more technology is coming up. So get creative and spend some money on some toys.
Other things you can do are mail each other scented clothing. It was one of my favorite ones. whether it's the sweat from all the pheromones or a great way to
okay,
establish
I can handle that
intimate
one.
contact.
Dirty
but,
underwear, I'm sorry.
Baby, you can buy it in Japan in vending machines. Okay, we could be making a fortune. The juice box girls panties.
Some clitty litter. Here's some clitty littered panties for you there, kids. Stuff the crust right up your nose. Anyway, people are weird. But I had a long distance relationship. God, when was that? Oh, dude, I think 10 years ago with a man who was way too young for me. He was very enthusiastic, and he lived in Edmonton, not too far away, but neither one of us could afford to travel to see each other because we were both students and young. And
is this the one?
I was not young. I was 31 or something. I think he was 24. But he was very enthusiastic, and he...
About your underwear.
About my underwear.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify that. He was enthusiastic about the underwear.
He was wanting me to mail him my underwear, and it's the only time I've done that, and I will not ever do it again because it just grossed me out. Anyway, people are weird.
I've been asked about that, and I've been asked for used Tampax as well, but honestly, I did not go there because I was actually kind of horrified, and I couldn't believe they were. Kidding.
But I think pheromones are, they do work. You know, like if for example, you could leave something when you leave to, you know, leave from one visit, one of you could leave maybe a worn shirt with some extra perfume or something on it. You know, the man usually has more pheromones in his body on his clothes, so he can leave his stinky shirt with you. Don't wash your sheets for a couple of weeks until the smells go away or the crusty spots. If you really want to get into it. Okay, anyway, enough of this.
Jules, on that note, if you did want to leave your scent, you could actually spritz the pillow, and I have done that in the past,
right.
Where you just put a little bit of perfume on it when they go to the bathroom, and then that way they can smell you on their pillow, and it reminds them of you, but it's subtle.
And I think sending each other spontaneous, like, e-cards or snail mail cards with the spritz on there, I'm not telling you to rub them on your underwear and your crotch.
Yeah.
You might get a paper cut. But
yeah, I had a different vision of spritzing, but yes.
Yes, right. Don't pee on the litter. Okay.
Oh, I was thinking semen, but yes.
I liked this idea that you had come up with, Caroline, about making this creative countdown and mailing it to your partner. So I didn't understand what you meant. So can you explain it to the listeners?
Well, for example, sending them a calendar where, say, it's 2 weeks before you're going to see them. So it's say 14 sleeps before I'm going to see you again. So sleep 13, you have a feather attached to it. So that way they get to play with it along themselves. So then that way when on day 12, that sleep, that way they can actually play with it in front of you with the webcam. So then that way you kind of gild it up and you're building up the anticipation. Maybe the next day you send them an ice cube tray that's, you know, attached. So you have all these sort of good things with it.
You suggest that they take an ice cube out of their own freezer. You don't mail the cube tray.
No, I'd send them the cube tray because I think it creates... People are very visual. It's very important.
Okay, then send them a picture of your genitals and go, hey, imagine sucking on this in four more sleeps. Okay.
Same thing with, sorry to interrupt, darling, with the photo calendar, things that you love, different things that you love about them each day, places that you'd like to see, all those types of things together, maybe Kama Sutra, different sex acts, you see each other in pictures that way, or stick figures.
Okay, so with that being said, and it's a great idea, I think it's really important not to set unreasonable expectations for your visit, like that you're going to do a Kama Sutra position every you know, 10 minutes while you're having sex.
I think it depends on your relationship. I do agree with
fantasizing about the visit is fine, and this is in general, but not necessarily fantasizing out loud or by email. I mean, I think a lot of people, the expectations can really put a lot of pressure on people. They get performance anxiety, and or they feel like a sex object, or they feel like they're in some kind of a porno when you get together. Maybe that's your kink. Perhaps that you like that. I don't know. But
actually, that's true. And all of us should actually be able to relate to that, because we all knew that from Christmas when we used to get so excited about it when we were little kids, for those of us who are Christian or
had presents.
Yes. And would get super excited about it. And then that disappointment where you had to fake and pretend that you actually really enjoyed what you're getting, even though you really didn't. Maybe that was just me. Thank God my dad doesn't listen to the show.
Oh, my gosh. Neither does anyone in my family. Yes, I know exactly what you mean. You wanted the train and you got the car. Anyway.
There's lots of things you can do with cars.
Right. So I think the important thing about life, and my little brother, again, brilliant today, helping me out with my relationship woes, saying to me that, you know, it's my expectation. Why is the sex the best sex you've ever had the first, you know, or the second or third or fifth time that you have it? And then all of a sudden, you know, it's because you have no expectations in the first, you know, month of your relationship, or first 10 times you have sex, or first 2 times you have sex. You have no expectations. You don't know what to expect. And so you're just open to whatever, and you're really into the person, and you just go off the mark. You go crazy.
You do. It's anticipation, the buildup. In terms of that, because you're so excited about the concept, you've thought about, you've fantasized about, you've even masturbated about, perhaps, about what sex is going to be like, how you're going to fit together. And then when you finally get it, it can be really awesome for the first few times. And I think...
I just had a pantgasm.
You had a pantgasm.
I had a pantgasm. Let me see.
Oh, Marianne's here and looks Marianne. Very super hot as usual.
Holy fuck, I like those pants, Marianne.
I'm still drilling over the shoes, baby.
I think we need a webcam in here.
Oh, we definitely need a
webcam. We need to find a budget for this, because we're going to get a lot more listeners if
they could see what he looked like, yes.
No, us. And then he comes at the end as the piece de resistance, the creme de la creme at the end of the show. Anyway, all right. So speaking of webcams, make sure you get one if you're going to have a long-distance relationship, because really, you're going to forget what each other looks like. What else? I think in the last 5 minutes here,
I think we should, I want to just touch on a few things. The phone sex, that's a big thing, because people ask, and that was one of the things we started with, like, why bother having one of these things? You're not going to be able to have sex with them anytime soon, necessarily, depending how often you've set up your visits. So perhaps it's another way of looking at it, and this is something that you can use in your own sex life at home, if you have somebody that you're dating locally, and Julia's still drooling, and it is distracting me as she's drooling over his pants. I love it. But phone sex, it's a billion-dollar industry, and obviously that means somebody's buying and giving some fun phone. And it's a great way to share your fantasies if you're a little bit shy and you don't feel comfortable doing it in real life. It's a great way to do this. And
it does bring you closer. I have had some good phone sex in my life, and it is something, it does touch, you know, you can get really... feel kind of close, and if you're both jerking off like crazy and can hear each other panting away.
And it's a great way to discover self-exploration as well.
Right.
I think it's a really good way to describe that. And if you want to take it the next step further, pick up the webcam, like Julia was saying out earlier, because then that way you can see. So instead of just saying, okay, I want to be touched like this, and using toys and things like that, it can be super fun. Your partner can see how you like being stroked, how you like being touched. So then when you're together, you can learn from that.
Another thing is, you could also buy, you know, with that fun mail that we were talking about, the snail mail aspect, and sending little love letters or like erotica letters, you can buy your friend, your lover, your boyfriend or girlfriend, a sex toy, and then mail that to them, and then get them to use that for you, and because they know what it looks like and feels like because they've bought it, and then they can imagine it in you or using it in some creative fashion, or they can listen to you while you do that over the phone or something.
Or see it through the webcam.
Exactly. Not everybody has lots of money. So these are also interesting things that you can do on dates if you live across the city and maybe you don't have cars. So maybe it's a long bike ride or like a long bus ride to see each other. You can still have a lot of these ideas we're talking about, right?
I think a lot of it can, because a lot of times we just get to the sex straight away, and a lot of times we forget about things. We forget about the erotica with it. And sometimes I just want to touch base on terms of that. Is with phone sex, webcam, all that, sometimes people ask me, how do you start? Like, I don't know what to say. I feel really stupid because I don't know what to say. And sometimes it might be great just to go to your local sex store or go online and see what you can find for erotica. There's some really great stuff. And actually read each other's stories. And that way you can kind of find out as well what works for you, what works for your partner. And it also gives you a lot of great ideas that you can try when you're together. Or if you get really comfortable with that and you start finding out what you like, you can write a sexy story and you can mail it to them. And that's a pretty hot thing to do, whether or not it's local or whether or not it's long distance. I think it's a really wonderful thing. And if you really want to go the full gamut, and this might be a nicer for a Just Because present or a Valentine's Day or a birthday, get some really sexy photographs of yourself. Get a friend who's a photographer and put it together and
send it.
But yeah, put it together like a scrapbook and send it to somebody. Everybody loves getting stuff in the mail.
So. I know somebody who did that for someone. They have an identical twin sister, and they did this beautiful erotic kind of cute thing and then sent it to a long distance relationship, and it was...
She sent it to her twin?
No, the twins did the pictures together and sent it to her long distance relationship.
Oh, okay. I was confused.
I thought it was kind of sexy and dirty. But anyway, you know what? Also, you need to have strong communication skills, period, bottom line. But in long-distance relationships, emails and text messages can often be misread. Arguments can escalate quickly. Really important not to argue via text or the internet. You need to talk on the phone or be in person with each other. So, obviously, you can get through the patch of roughness that they get created, and it can help to build a stronger relationship over time. But sometimes, even after all the effort you put in, you realize it's just not going to work. And perhaps you're finding it difficult to stay monogamous with your partner. Again, the physicality of being in a long distance can be really challenging. So,
that's one of the big things. So if you are away from your partner and you're finding somebody else that you find really intriguing, break up with them. Really, just break up with them, because cheating's never worth it. It really isn't. That short-lived physical gratification is just not worth the consequences. And I really believe that, because otherwise it just demonstrates a lack of self-mastery. And you really want to be in control of your actions, and it's bad karma.
It's bad karma. It's bad ethics. It's, it's just all not good. Just be an ethical slut.
Yeah.
I mean, just tell the person that you're in love with that you love them or whatever, you want to be with them, but you want to be with also this other person. It takes risking the relationship, right? But really, you are born alone, you're going to die alone, and every moment, whether you're with your friends or not, you're still with yourself. So if you're feeling some inner deficiency that you feel, and that's why you keep having relationships to begin with, you're obviously not going to want to risk them, because you're just afraid of losing, so you don't want to be alone, and that's not a good reason to be in a relationship. So, which is most of the reasons that people are in relationships, is because they're afraid of being by themselves.
I think it depends on the relationship. A healthy relationship, it should be balanced, where you're both two complete wholes.
But why would you be afraid to risk it by saying, I have these feelings for someone else, and I want to pursue this other kind of romantic or sexual thing with somebody else?
I guess because I'm a geek and I believe in monogamy still, personally.
Well, it's not about being a geek. It's just about, why are people afraid to risk the relationship? Because they're afraid to be alone.
I suppose so, but I think it depends on the relationship again. It's one thing to tell somebody, I want to pursue this and I want to go sleep with somebody else. It's another thing to say, yeah, I think so-and-so's cute.
Yes.
I think it's different. But I think it's one of those things that can build up, especially with the long-distance relationship, which I think we should wrap that up. And we can talk about this for another show. So.
Yes, I think some conscious decisions that you can make to avoid getting yourself into trouble. Always tell members of the opposite sex that you have a girlfriend or boyfriend, or people that are coming on to you, whether it's whatever. Find activities for Fridays and Saturday nights that do not put you in a position to get you into trouble. Going to club is probably not the best idea. And make sure that you satisfy your own sexual needs with the person that you are in a relationship with
or by yourself.
Exactly. So we hope you enjoyed tonight's show. Caroline and I will be back next week with another fresh and lively Juice Box. In the meantime, email Caroline at Juicebox Radio or Julia at Juicebox Radio. Let us know what you think. Tell us show topics, whatever it is. We really enjoy hearing from you. We want our fun mail. We want to know we've been loved.
We like our snail mail, too, though, and we haven't had any of that for a long time.
No, where's our snail mail? Where's our stalkers? Okay, stay tuned for Hans von Kloss's Misery Hour with the very, very sexy Marion and his amazing collection of ambient music and his super hot voice. I love listening to his show all the way home and to put myself to bed. Thanks for listening to Juicebox Radio. We'll be back next week
at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock.
You just experienced Juicebox Radio, a show dedicated to developing your relational and individual sexual health, expressing diversity, celebrating queerness, and encouraging pleasure at all stages. Be sure to tune into Juicebox every Wednesday night at 10. In the meantime, you can check out juiceboxradio.com. Thanks for listening.